Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. On the day that the UK holds the funeral of its first female Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, we take you back to 1965 and the state funeral of Britain's wartime leader, Winston Churchill. Louise Hidalgo spoke to his granddaughter, Emma Soames, about that day.
January 1965. For days now, Britain's great wartime leader, Sir Winston Churchill, has lain unconscious at his London home after suffering a stroke.
He was slipping very, very gently and peacefully away. And my mother, Mary, who is his youngest child, of course, she was very much at his bedside with my grandmother. And I remember going for long walks in Hyde Park with my father. And basically, we were just waiting for him to die.
Emma Soames was one of Winston and Clementine Churchill's 10 grandchildren. She was brought up on the farm at Chartwell, which was her grandfather's family home. And in the last years of his life, he spent much time there.
He was very much the centre of the house at Chartwell. And he had pets and everybody gathered round him. But he was a sort of very benign but quite silent presence. But he loved his grandchildren, and so I saw my grandparents every day.
Emma was 15 in 1965. To her, Winston Churchill was just grandpapa. She knew he'd been Prime Minister twice, and that his determination and his speeches had inspired a nation during the Second World War. But it wasn't until he died that Emma realised just how immense a figure her grandfather had been.
We announced the death of Sir Winston Churchill. The announcement came from 28 Hyde Park Gate a few minutes ago. It said that Sir Winston died shortly after 8 o'clock this morning.
After his death, suddenly there was this vast outpouring.
It was absolutely extraordinary. It was a moment, I think, when, in a sense, I got a sense of who I was as much as anything else. You know, I suddenly realised what an immensely loved figure he was.
Churchill's body was taken to Westminster Hall in the Houses of Parliament, where it lay in state for 3 days.
Winston Churchill's body, in its oak coffin, enfolded in the Union flag, lies tonight but a few feet from the steps where I watched him receive his birthday portrait before the assembled Houses of Parliament, as they clapped and cheered and wept. They weep tonight for Churchill. And perhaps although it is the body, not the man, now here, their reasons are the same. Love and pride and, above all, gratitude.
I've come to pay my respects to the greatest man of all time.
And I don't think we'll ever see his like again.
Just felt like it was the end of an era. I mean, Churchill was one of the greatest Englishmen that have in our time.
It was just a stream, an endless stream of people quietly, silently walking past the coffin. And then one night, I and my elder brother, we went and did the queue. And everybody was so sad and reverential. And I remember queuing in the bitter cold and people of every age and background. It was really, in a way, almost as moving as the funeral itself, this sea of people walking past.
More than 300,000 people filed past the coffin in those 3 days. Finally, on Saturday, the 30th of January, came the day of the funeral.
Luggard Hill crowded this morning with thousands of people who have been pouring in since dawn to see the passing of the body of Winston Churchill on its way here to St Paul's Cathedral, from which I'm talking at the moment.
Gun carry.
The orders have been given for the procession to move.
Churchill's sons and grandsons and male relatives walked, and his wife, daughters and granddaughters travelled in carriages, following the coffin as it processed from Westminster through London to St Paul's Cathedral.
as the procession starts its long journey to St. Paul's. The gunners of the Royal Horse Artillery in St. James's Park fire 90 guns, minute guns. One each minute, one for each year of Churchill's life.
It was misty, bone cold, but there were just people everywhere. And so we looked out of these little windows of the carriage, and there wasn't a moment when you weren't looking at people. Three deep, four deep, six deep, in the narrow bit of Fleet Street, possibly even two deep. And it was just a sea of faces, and there were mothers with children in their arms, just standing utterly still. And then, of course, rows upon rows of policemen. You know, every 10 yards there was a policeman.
The gun carriage has halted for the coffin to be taken into the cathedral.
And then when we got to the cathedral and we went up the aisle, one side was the family and the other side was the massed ranks of European royalty, President de Gaulle. And it was at that moment that I sort of really realised how much my grandfather meant, that the West had lost a great leader as well as a family losing its head. And then the first hymn was the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And about halfway through, it was this sort of gunmetal grey day. And a shaft of sunlight came through the high windows and hit the coffin, briefly. And it was like, I don't know, a message from heaven or something. It was extraordinary.
After the service, the funeral cortege began the journey to Churchill's final resting place, at Bladon, in the south of England, close to Blenheim, where he was born. First, the coffin was piped aboard a boat to be taken up the Thames.
Well, I was standing on the bows of the launch following the coffin, and all these cranes bowed, and nobody knew it was going to happen, and the heads of the cranes were all lowered. And it was a wonderful, wonderful tribute. It was just so moving. And there was a grandeur, really, about the day until then. And then it got more and more intimate.
The coffin was taken to Bladon by a special train named the Winston Churchill.
I remember thinking Grandpapa would be lonely and going back and standing next to the coffin in a sort of goods carriage. And even on the train going to Bladon, there were people at every gate, at every level crossing, farmers taking off their hats as the train passed. I mean, it didn't stop at London.
And then, at last, at the end of an extraordinary day and of an extraordinary life, Sir Winston Churchill was laid to rest in the parish churchyard of Bladon, watched over only by his family. His wife, Clementine, was buried alongside him 12 years later.
Witness was written and produced by Louise Hidalgo. This programme was first broadcast in 2011. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.